on the outskirts of any city in Scotland. In what was once a village before it became a busy suburb, the parish church was looking a bit sad and neglected. The railings were rusted, the grass overgrown. The windows had wire mesh to protect from vandals. The roof was missing a few slates, and the copper and lead holding it together had long since been harvested by thieves hoping to make a profit in the scrap metal market. The front doorway was littered with cigarette butts deposited by those attending the slimming classes or the AA group, or simply sheltering out of the rain. Most folk passed the building on the way to the shops across the road with barely a glance. On Sunday mornings, a trickle of folk still came to worship, sitting in their hard and comfortable family pews, using musty dog-eared hymn books. Most of them could still picture the church filled, teeming with life and warmth. They could remember who sat where and name every minister since the early 1900s. The organ had given up the ghost some years ago, and a machine provided taped music playing at a sedate pace. They dreamed of a time when things could go back to the way they were. There had been an offer of joining with a congregation half a mile away, a congregation that was also struggling, but that had a minister and a better maintained building. But that would mean giving up the chancel in which they'd stood to profess their faith, or in which they had waited to be married. Those were the days when the front porch had been littered with rice and confetti rather than cigarette butts. It would involve leaving behind the font around which their family gathered as children were baptised, and around which they still hoped they would gather for their grandchildren's baptisms, though that was looking unlikely since their sons and daughters no longer had time for the church. It would mean leaving behind the communion table on which the family matriarch had placed meticulously laundered communion cloths year in, year out. Even the gathering vestibule held special significance, displaying as it did the boys' brigade roll of honour and the war memorial that featured family names. All these memories were a part of their worship as they gathered with saints of the past and the present, part of that great cloud of witnesses. How could they worship in a strange land? No thanks. They would rather see this to the end and let others worry about what comes next. They know that their children and grandchildren will not be burdened by such sentiment, by such memories. What a week it has been for the Church of Scotland. And what an exciting time to be part of the Church of Scotland. That's the way in which I see the results of this week's General Assembly. The Church is about to enter a time of huge change, and it's going to be an interesting few months and years ahead. It was an exciting time for the Israelites in our reading from the Bible this morning, a reading from the little read and little known book of Ezra. For the first group of exiles returning from Babylonia, the time had come at last to start rebuilding the temple destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's army some 50 years previously. There was a sense of joy and excitement and optimism about the future. In many ways, this is where the Church of Scotland finds itself. Well, at least it does, if it isn't like the church I just described. Following last year's dismissal of a plan for the future brought by the Council of Assembly because it wasn't radical enough, the church this week voted to adopt a truly radical plan for the future. A plan that will have a huge impact at a national level, at a presbytery level, and at a congregational level. And they voted with enthusiasm and with an optimism that verged on excitement. And it's really important that we here understand this. Things at a national, presbytery, and congregational level will change. Some highlights from the General Assembly and the changes include the Go For It Fund, It's to be replaced by a bigger fund that could be applied for by local churches, groups of churches and presbyteries for work targeted at church planting, children, young people and families. Up to £25 million over 7 years is to be made available, some of which is coming from the Church of Scotland's reserves at a national level. There's a target to cut between 20 and 30% of the central costs of the church. A merging of some of the councils of the church, Mission and Discipleship and Ministries Council, will come together, as will the Church of Society and World Mission Councils. And there's also an aim to reduce the number of presbyteries from 45 to around just 12. The main thrust of the reforms is to return more control to the local level to allow for new ways of being the Church of Scotland to take shape. Church legislation will be forthcoming to help form hubs and partnerships of the church suited to the locale, a recognition that one shape of church doesn't fit all situations. And there will be a concerted effort across the church to engage with those under the age of 40. There were many more parts to the plan. These are just a few of the highlights. If you're interested in reading more, or you can find a copy of the report of the Council of Assembly on the Church of Scotland website. But if you've ever tried to navigate the Church of Scotland website, that sounds easier than it really is. So if you would like some help in finding that report, please speak to me and I'll let you know the exact link that you need. But the plan is radical and it's exciting and it gives me optimism. Something that has been sadly lacking in the Church of Scotland for a long time. And I don't mean necessarily locally, because I think we here have still much to be satisfied with. To many, we are a church to admire or even envy. We still have good numbers of people attending church weekly, and we have facilities that some might describe as second to none. But even we cannot rest on our laurels. We face many of the same challenges that other churches face. An aging congregation. Less people able to do the jobs that need to be done. Missing generations. We don't have many children or young people, that's true. But we don't have their parents either. There is a lot of work to do in simply standing still, let alone growing. Dr. Sally Bonner, convener of the Council of Assembly, made this point. She said she hoped commissioners would return to their parishes with a sense of excitement for the future. The church has made some far-reaching decisions. Not all those actions will be put into place straight away, obviously, and a lot of work is needed to flesh out what was decided. But she goes on, the General Assembly this year has really got the bit between its teeth in terms of moving the church forward and modernising. I hope they have a clear message to take back that we are a church that is not content to manage decline. The decisions made over the last few days tell us that this is a church that is listening, facing up to realities and is ready to change. We are a church that wants to grow the kingdom of God and take the message of the gospel out to the people of Scotland in a more effective way. Now, you may or may not be aware that the Presbytery of Aberdeen is also conducting a review, with a new presbytery plan being worked on. An extensive review of church buildings is currently underway, looking at what buildings will be necessary for the future of the church across the city. But they're not just looking at the condition of the church buildings, but looking at where churches are in relationship to their communities, and whether new buildings might be necessary in some places. The committee responsible for the plan are due to bring forward its ideas to presbytery in the late autumn. And we need to be prepared for it to be a radical new plan. I suspect it will involve working even more closely with our neighbouring churches, sharing resources and sharing people in more targeted ways. And here, in our own congregation, we have our own group looking at putting together a development plan for cults. And we met this week to continue this work. We too hope to bring a plan for all to see and agree on later on this year. But there's no point in us rushing this is until the national plan starts to take shape and the presbytery plan becomes clearer. We won't know everything that we need to know how it will affect us here and how we will need to respond. We here in cults and the Church of Scotland across Scotland and beyond must not simply accept that we are managing decline. Quite the contrary. These various plans are about rebuilding. We are in the kingdom building business. The church is not yet ready for palliative care. The Israelites rebuilt their kingdom. The Church of Scotland is rebuilding itself, and we will play our part in this. We are about building the kingdom of God. That is our calling and our commission from Christ. The theme of this year's General Assembly was "Follow Me." The words spoken by Jesus as he started his ministry and was building his team. And following Jesus in a world that seems to be turning away from God and becoming more and more secular is a real challenge. But there are glimmers of hope. In the last month, I've conducted 5 baptisms, 5 weddings, and as many funerals. People still look to the church and to God at important times in their lives. We still have a role to play. Yesterday, I took part in the Grampian Pride March down at Union Street as part of a small group of Church of Scotland ministers. Several people stopped us to say thank you, just for being there. We turned more than a few heads, surprised a lot of people by simply being there. We were a witness to Christ, spreading the message that God loves all, everyone. A community that too often feels that the Christian community wants nothing to do with them and only has words of condemnation for them, saw and heard a different message yesterday, just by us being there with them. You see, following Jesus doesn't need to be complicated. Our presence in our community is a powerful witness. By remaining a vibrant, welcoming community of faith and of love, we are witnesses to Jesus in the most powerful of ways. So rather than be despondent about a shortage of ministers, a declining membership, a lack of families involved in our churches, I want us to be excited about the future, open to new ways of thinking about church and doing church, and excited about the opportunities that lie ahead. The second of our readings this morning were verses from Psalm 136, a reminder that in the midst of everything, God's love is eternal. Or as Eugene Peterson puts it, God never quits. God has not given up on his people. Thank God he deserves our thanks. His love never quits. Thank God, the God of all gods, his love never quits. Thank the Lord of all lords. His love never quits. Thank the miracle-working God. His love never quits. The God whose skill formed the cosmos. His love never quits. The God who laid out earth on ocean foundations. His love never quits. The God who filled the skies with light. His love never quits. The sun to watch over the day, his love never quits. Moon and stars as guardians at night, his love never quits. God remembered us when we were down, his love never quits. Rescued us from the trampling boot, his love never quits. Takes care of everyone in time of need, his love never quits. Thank God who did it all, his love never quits. So kingdom people, there is work to be done. The Church of Scotland has its radical plan. The Presbytery of Aberdeen is working on its plan, and we have a team looking at our development plan. All 3 levels looking at what it means to be church today and into the future. everyone looking at what it means to be followers of Christ in this age, rebuilding the church nationally, rebuilding the church locally, so we can all play our part in rebuilding the kingdom of God. Amen. You can build up.